We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, let me get it straight, Lee.
Okay.
This is what you can expect from the Democrats. Okay, Elizabeth Warren, remember she promised to just ban fracking on day one?
Oh, yeah.
As president, right? So that'd be about roughly 2 million jobs just gone, wiped away. And it would turn America into an energy importer, make us dependent again on places like Iran and Saudi Arabia, which would be awesome. You will love it.
Yeah, because it's the old war for oil, the theory there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But we're not allowed to go to war.
Oh, that's right.
So remember, because we're not. So if we just don't have any today, that's okay. We'll all get on our bikes and we'll just ride through the rain this morning to work. And
exactly.
Just go ahead, strap the kids to your back.
Well, you know, there won't be any need to go to work because of all those job losses, and there's no electricity because we don't have it. So,
right.
Because, you know, solar power right now on a day like today, not so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, she could use nuclear. Oh, wait. No. She doesn't believe in nuclear either.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So is ruining the entire energy industry good enough for Elizabeth Warren? Oh, God, no. She's down in the polls. Did you hear her latest? She plans to also attack the housing industry.
Climate change threatens every living thing on this planet. And what scares me is every time you go back to the scientists, they tell you two things. It's worse than we thought, and we have less time. That means we've got to be willing to do things, for example, like regulation. By 2028, no new buildings, no new houses, without a zero carbon footprint. By 2030, light duty trucks and cars, zero carbon footprint. By 2035, all production of electricity, zero carbon footprint. We do three regulations. We can cut our carbon footprint by 70%.
Yeah, we cut our economy by 70% too.
She's in a fantasy world. Because what she's talking about is just technically not even possible. If the people wanted to do it, it could not be done in that time frame.
Do you remember the Bloomberg article that we read? I mean, mainstream media, Bloomberg, basically, and Bloomberg's a believer in all of this enviro stuff. Basically, they were essentially saying, you know, to do everything that she wanted to do, you'd have rolling blackouts because there's not enough renewable energy production. We don't have the technology to, you know, power all this stuff with renewables, especially if you're not going to use nuclear, which she says she's not. So, I mean, she just basically promised to wipe out the energy industry, the housing industry, the trucking industry, the auto industry. And am I forgetting any?
Yeah, they're coming for your pickups, guys and gals.
Yeah.
Coming for them.
You're not going to be allowed to do
your Jeep Wranglers. Your Silverados, your F-150s, your Rams. not with President Warren around. Not
going
to happen.
No. Meanwhile, this has been baffling me. I was just watching this as I've been, you know, away on break. This idea, this debate, this bizarre debate, and I think the Trump administration screwed up here. This bizarre, about even giving into it, this bizarre debate that, like, okay, you had, if you were going to kill Soleimani, you had to prove there was an imminent attack coming. What? They hit our industry, embassy. We're done here. This is retaliation. I don't know why we're quibbling over, well, we thought there might be attacks. Well, there might not be. Well, was the intelligence briefing good enough? Because if there were no incoming attacks, then we shouldn't have we shouldn't have stopped them. What? I mean, how do you prove there's not going to be more attacks? That's what, I mean, I don't understand it. But they had been hitting us in an escalating fashion. They had their proxy militias rocket bombing our military sites. This has been going on for months. They finally hit our embassy. I mean, why don't the Democrats have to prove they were not going to attack us anymore?
Well, because there's only one plan here, that anything Donald Trump does or touches is wrong, is bad. It doesn't matter if the economy is good. It doesn't matter if we're killing our enemies overseas. It doesn't matter what happens. If Donald Trump has anything to do with it, it's bad, and we've got to stop it, even if it's actually good for the country.
I kind of blame the Trump administration here for even getting into this debate. I mean, if it were asked to me, you know, well, did you prove there were impending attacks? Well, that's my response would be, well, that's classified, but I don't think I need to. I mean, we just, our embassy was just hit. An American contractor was killed by a guy who killed over 600 Americans. That's it. We're done. Yeah. I mean, you are more than justified at that point.
And then point out as well that there was never this type of justification demanded of the Obama administration on the hundreds of missile strikes that they did against foreign terrorists.
No, not even when they had decided that they simply didn't like the leaders of countries like, again, Libya,
yeah,
an ally of ours throughout the whole Iraq war and the war on terror. Probably one of our best, staunchest allies of the Bush administration. No, Gaddafi had not always been a good guy, but he most certainly had. And they just decided they wanted regime change. And so in the air, our Air Force goes. And I mean, here's, again, Nancy Pelosi explaining that if you're Obama, you don't need to ask Congress.
Madam Speaker, Madam Leader, you're saying that the president did not need authorization initially and still does not need any authorization from Congress on Libya?
Yes.
Thank you both.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah. No, it's not needed. It's Obama. He's liberal and really smart. The founding fathers understood that. So they said he didn't need any authorization. That's just for people like Trump. I don't even think Nancy Pelosi believes what she's saying.
Well, they'll say anything. It doesn't make any difference. It makes absolutely no difference. They'll say anything because, obviously, they want everything both ways.
Yeah.
The rules only apply when it involves a Republican administration.
Do you hear what Attorney General Bill Barr said about that in the press conference yesterday? He goes through it takes a minute to lay out all the attacks that the Iranians have launched. And he said, look, we had more than enough provocation to respond here. This was absolutely a legitimate use of the president's powers, retaliatory powers. Then he says this.
The general in charge of these efforts, Soleimani, was clearly a legitimate military target. And we had a brief window of time to carry out the attack when he arrived in Baghdad to plan and orchestrate follow-up attacks on American interests and American people, personnel. So this was a legitimate act of self-defense because it disrupted ongoing attacks that were being conducted, a campaign against the Americans, and it reestablished deterrence. It responded to attacks that had been already committed. Our purpose and our expectation was not to trigger a broader conflict or that events would spin out of control. On the contrary, we believed that the strike would restore deterrence and help avoid a continuing upward spiral of the violence.
I just would like to know from the Democrats, honestly, when would be, like when could we ever respond if a terrorist attacked us? Like ever?
When there's a Democrat in the White House.
I guess we just have to wait.
That's when, yeah.
Till there's a Democrat in the White House. Texter writes, Pocahontas should be renamed Stone Age Warren. Amen to that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, sports fans, Clemson fans in particular. Stop by, listen to the show, maybe because you can't bear to listen to sports radio this morning. I don't blame you. 42-25 route. Ow, that hurt. Snapped defending national champion Clemson's 29-game winning streak. Gave LSU its fourth perfect season and national championship. And an atrocity occurred there last night. You're thinking, yeah, that score was an atrocity. Yeah, it was that. But no, in a worse atrocity. Woke up this morning completely confused. I like to check the Twitter trends. I do it almost every day. It's just interesting what's trending. You'd think the game, right? The national championship game. Like, you'd think that'd be the top trending thing. Some version of that might be LSU, might be whatever. But you'd think that would be the trending thing on like, social media, right? No. No, it's not LSU. It's not the Tigers. Not any of that. It's Vince Vaughn. Like, what the heck, Vince Vaughn? And I click, I said, Vince Vaughn? What the heck? Why is Vince Vaughn the number one trending thing on Twitter? What did he do? Get caught with a dead woman or a live child? I mean, practically, what do you think you'd have to do with that? To top the newsworthiness of the national championship game, right? And that was an atrocity committed by Vince Vaughn at the championship game. Did you see what he did? He was nice to our president. Didn't slap him in the face, didn't spit on him. No, no. Shook his hand. Conversed with him for a whole 30 seconds. 30 seconds! So the social justice warrior left on Twitter marked him for destruction. He's got to be canceled. Vowing to cancel him and anybody he ever associates with again. So any director, any producer, any company, got to go down, got to go down. He is touched. It's like cooties. Remember cooties when you were a kid? Like if somebody who touched you who had cooties and you had cooties and anybody you touched had cooties. It's like cooties, but on the internet. So Vaughn, you know, Trump was there and he got a huge, huge cheers. The media was apoplectic about that. Huge cheers at the game. He was there with Melania, right? So Vince Vaughn was at the game too. He didn't sit with Trump or anything. I mean, not like Ellen style with George W. Bush. Because they'd be burning his home down at this point. They'd have found him and be burning his home down. But he was nice to Trump. I don't know what he was supposed to do. Spit in his face? Punch him? I don't know. They act like Vince Vaughn was caught attending the game with the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. And he's been exposed. I mean, this is the level of lunacy. You cannot even have a polite conversation. Folks, if I bumped into Obama somewhere, I don't know, I had some chance to meet him, would I take it? Yeah, heck yeah, it would be cool to be up close to the president. I don't like Obama. I don't agree with him. I think he was an awful president, but he's still the president. Would I spit on him? No. Would I punch him? No. Would I be polite? Oh, heck yes. I'd shake his hand. Be interesting. Left can't do that. Wouldn't you? I mean, you don't really like the guy. He's a president. It's interesting. Interesting to meet him. We're polite in this country, but not Vince Vaughn. Not Vince Vaughn. All right. Meanwhile, back to the Democrat Party platform for 2020. Did you see this? One Illinois sanctuary county freed 1,000 criminal illegal aliens into the U.S. in 2019. So these are not guys who've been arrested because they broke our law coming across our border. These are guys who are arrested for crimes that they committed after they came across the border. 1,070 criminal aliens released back into neighboring communities in fiscal year 2019 in Cook County, Illinois. This is how they want us to live, folks. This is a statement by ICE on that. The most concerning issue about working in an area that refuses to cooperate with ICE is not only that we do not know which criminal aliens are being released from custody, but the public doesn't know either. They don't care. This included the usual roundup of drunk drivers, child sex offenders, rapists, pedophiles, burglars, assaulters, attempted murder. They're all great people, though. You would love them if you met them. Folks, this is the Democrat Party platform. You want me to break it down for you? Flood your city with foreign national criminals that we could keep behind bars and then deport once they've served their sentences. But no, the Democrats want them out there to vote. Disarm you so you can't defend yourself. That's part two of the platform. So they flood your city with foreign national criminals. They disarm you, the law-abiding American citizen gun owner, so you can't defend yourself. And then they give them the right to vote. Oh, you missed that part. Yeah, did you see what they're doing in New York? Are you going to love this? The legislation I told you they'd bring. Remember they decided in New York State they're going to give driver's licenses to illegals? I said, the next one's going to be you're automatically... Yep, here we go. Automatically registered to vote. If you have a license. You have to opt out if you're an illegal. And if not, you just end up on the voter rolls. And it's like, it's really cool. You end up there and, well, you probably should be voting anyway, right? It's your right as an illegal immigrant. Isn't it? How are we going to continue to function? How are we going to function as a country? How are we going to do this? This is insanity. You can't, but that's the point. I mean, folks, they are literally transitioning the illegals to the voter rolls right in front of our faces. Oh, and I didn't even tell you this part. Do you know what they said? The Democrat Party said that this was a move to fight voter fraud. To fight voter fraud in the state of New York, they are registering illegal immigrants to vote. That makes sense to you? No? Here it is. New York Democrats pitched the legislation as an effort to, quote, reduce the incidence of voter registration fraud and voting fraud. And to, quote, prevent erroneous disenfranchisement of eligible citizens, promote greater participation of eligible voters in elections. Every bit of that is a lie. So you're an illegal immigrant. They just got you driver's licenses. And guess what? New York State Democrats are advancing a bill to automatically register to vote all residents who apply for a driver's license. How much more obvious does this have to be? They flood your city with foreign national criminals, disarm you so you can't defend yourself, and then give them the right to vote. In the process, stealing your vote, canceling it, nullifying it. It's the Democrat way. And they can bring it to every city in the country if we let them. New study shows the age when you're the most miserable. Yeah, happiness is not static, goes up and down throughout your lifetime. The answer is when you're 47.2 years old. It's a new study out of Dartmouth College. Looked at data from almost 8 million Americans over the past 3 decades to figure out when people are the most miserable. What would you say this is for you? When were you the happiest too? Basically, our happiness as adults goes in a U-shaped curve. We're happy when we're 18, then we started getting more and more miserable over our 20s, 30s, and 40s. Bottoms out when you're 47.2, and then you start getting happier again. Oh, I can totally see this. You know why? Because, I mean, you're stressed. My dad says this is when you're going over the rapids of life. He says that to me all the time. He says, and he's been telling me this since I was, you know, a teenager. You've got this vision of how you're going to go down the rapids, man. You're going to do it in style. And then by the time you get there, you know, the rapids is life, right? How you going to live it? By the time you get there, you're holding on for dear life. There's 5 people depending on you. You can barely keep the thing afloat. You have to make compromises you never imagined. Yeah, that's where the unhappiness comes from. But the good news is, by the time you're 70, you're just as happy as you were when you were 18. Why do they think middle age is so depressing? Well, basically, the researcher says it's because you realize your big dreams aren't really going to come true. Sorry. But then as you get older, you start to put your life in better perspective. You become grateful for what you have, which is why you start getting happier again. And if that doesn't work, you can add this. The age at which you have the best sex, 46 on average. So you got that going for you, right? Nothing else. Interesting, huh? All right. 800-347-1063. Text line 713-07. Okay. Where to begin with? Did you see this? This was inevitable. I'd get texts saying, oh, this was going to happen, and they were joking, but now it is. Headline, 45-year-old convicted sex offender protests to the judge about his sentence because he identifies as an 8-year-old girl. Ergo, he says, and he actually filed this with the court. This is one of his defenses. Joseph Gobrick. Sentenced to at least a decade behind bars after investigators found illegal images on his computer, photos depicting children as young as 5 being sexually assaulted. And he says the sentence is not warranted or justified because he identifies as an 8-year-old. He always has. Hence why he's attracted to other kids. Here's part of his court filing. I've always been an 8-year-old girl, and even my drawings and fantasies, I was always an 8-year-old girl.
Wait, we got to believe. No, hold on. You got to believe this. You have to. Because, see, it's literally not legally going to work any other way. Like, for instance, take this transgender worker suing Nike. This lawsuit scares me. It's a transgender worker suing Nike because Nike misgendered this individual. Now, so this is a woman who's transmasculine, Jazz Lyles, and her coworkers were not using her preferred pronouns, they, them, and there, instead he or she. So Nike had remedial retraining for these workers, and so they would know to call Jazz they, them, and there. But the training was not done for, like, all the workers at Nike, just her team, and or his team, or their team, whatever. And so other people continued to misgender Jazz Lyles. So she's suing for, no, God, whatever. They are suing for $1.1 million. Scariest lawsuit I've seen in a long time. If this person wins, we're all going to be forced in the workplace to, you know, whatever gender you want, whatever pronoun you want. Okay. What if you identify as an 8-year-old? I mean, you set that legal precedent, right? It can't go two ways. Well, we have to go along with whatever you identify as, not what you actually are in the workplace. That's the legal precedent. Then that would have to be the legal precedent, would it not, for the courts, for crimes. You can't have it both ways. Maybe for a while you can, but not indefinitely. Texter writes, woohoo, I'm 47.5 and on my way back up. Yes, you are. Give you something to look for and live for today. Another texter writes, amen, Tara. My friends will back me up. I have always said 47 was the worst. I haven't gotten there yet. I have to steel myself for the depression, I guess. I don't know. Texter writes, New York is the very definition of voter fraud. Well, they're legalizing it. They're legalizing. No. I mean, because the first was the bill that gave them the driver's licenses. You got illegal immigrants lined up around the block to get the driver's licenses. Now they got a new bill in the legislature, which looks like it'll pass. And it says that if you have a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Isn't that nifty? I'm telling you, folks, in our lifetime. And Hillary not winning slowed it down. We'd already have a Supreme Court supporting this stuff. In our life, somebody is going to accept that argument. 45-year-old convicted sex offender can't be a sex offender because he identifies as 8. You wait. Can't have it both ways. We either have to go along with your delusion or we don't. But it doesn't work both ways. We're going to have to pick one. Told you so. I feel like that's all I say anymore. Do you remember when I told you and I broke it down during all the trade war hysteria? The trade war, I mean, and this was everywhere. It's Fox News, Fox Business, CNN Business, CNBC. The trade war was, man, it was going to just take out the economy. There was going to be inflation. I mean, it was going to be a disaster. The tariffs were just going to ruin everything. And the cost would be passed on consumers. Christmas was going to be terrible. There's going to be no toys under the tree. We had a record Christmas. All of that. And I told you no. No. And I explained why. I explained why the tariffs wouldn't hurt. And in the long run, that what Trump was doing would actually reduce prices, not increase them. And I explained how, look, the supply chain is a very flexible thing. And how, I mean, this is a shock to people, but other countries besides China make stuff, like a lot of other countries. And that they've been locked out of the supply chain for a very long time because China artificially subsidizes its goods. And if you were to tariff those goods and bring them up to or beyond market value, those other countries would for the first time have a chance to compete. And ultimately, long term, you would get cheaper goods. How the market was so whacked that nobody actually knows what goods, you know, what the market price for goods is because it's so manipulated by China. But that if we return to capitalism, everything would be fine. Well, and I know I asked a lot of you to believe me because everybody was saying the opposite, including the vaunted Wall Street Journal, which, oh, look there, over the weekend, admitting what? The U.S. economy sailed through the trade war with barely a scratch. Where have you heard that before? Folks, I'm not an economist. I'm not an economic expert. I read a lot.
Not a commentator. I don't have a column in the Wall Street Journal. I probably should. Not a commentator on Fox News. But I figured this out. Not because I'm smart. Just common sense. You could figure it out too. Much. God, I love reading this. God, do you remember the gloom and doom from the Wall Street Journal? You guys would send me links. Oh, no, no, no. It's going to be terrible. We're going to die. Much, the Wall Street Journal writes, much of the U.S. economy is largely unscathed by two turbulent years of trade war with China, economic indicators show. The biggest hit to the U.S. economy was a decline in agricultural exports to China, but that was largely ameliorated by the Trump administration's decision to divert $28 billion of income from tariffs to U.S. farmers. Good. It's exactly how the founding fathers meant tariffs to be used. Can I just read this line? Oh, it feels good to read this line. I told you this. Perhaps most notably, tariffs did not cause prices to rise. What? It's called competition. See, when they slapped the tariffs on China, to believe that prices were going to rise, you had to believe that the only other country in the world making stuff was China. And I told you, pull out a globe. Oh, look, there's Vietnam. Oh, see, look, Indonesia, India. All places with low wages that make stuff. Let me read it again, because it's just so much fun. From the Wall Street Journal. Perhaps most notably, tariffs did not cause prices to rise. Of course not. With China's artificial subsidization of goods out of the way, finally, there was a fair opportunity, capitalistic opportunity, for other countries, including ours, to move their products into the supply line. According to the journal, a basket of goods covered by U.S. tariffs showed prices rising 3%, but those were offset by prices falling on other goods. Inflation overall was near or below the Fed's targeted 2%, indicating the trade war did not hurt U.S. consumers. I told you, 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 I told you. Now, who did I tell you would pay for the tariffs? They said it was going to be the consumer. It's going to whack the economy out, right? No. Just like I told you here, right here in the Wall Street Journal. So who paid for the tariffs, the journal writes? For the most part, it appears they were paid out of corporate profits of U.S. importers. U.S. importers. Those corporations, of course, got a huge tax cut before the trade war kicked in, which means after-tax income was higher than it would have been. Nailed it, folks. This wasn't hard to figure out. It's just basically capitalism. It's not hard to figure. Anyway, do you remember the hysteria at the time? The absolute unmitigated hysteria. Oh, from it was Neil Cavuto and all of them. The end was coming. Trump was too stupid. He didn't understand. Yeah, looks like now the only people who didn't the only people who didn't understand was everybody but Trump. Maybe we gotta trust him a little more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.